doom and gloom, and man, everybody had old sour face, and old man act like they didn't have no hope, and act like the presidential election was going to determine if we go to heaven or not. Man, that ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. Can I get amen? Hey, tonight, I'm just going to tell you, I know a man named Jesus. Amen. And Sister Keela tonight, you was talking about prayer. Hey, I'm telling you what tonight, only anybody that I know that's ever I've been able to talk to that helped me, that'd be God. Amen. Hey, talk to him through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is my mediator between me and the Father. And he answers my prayers. And he answers what I need done tonight. And I know that by the song that Sister Kendra and them sung tonight. Talking about the Lord being the author of salvation. First point tonight, salvation is of God. So, boy, I'm telling you what, if we ain't lined up tonight, I don't know what we are. Salvation is of God. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight on the Hallelujah chapter. Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 1. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. For let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and thou have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this night. Father, I thank you that you've allowed us to come in and gather and assemble together tonight and worship your holy name. Father, I thank you tonight for the book of Revelation. I thank you that we've went all the way through it almost. Lord God, we're in chapter number 19 tonight. Lord, we've took it line upon line, verse upon verse, and we've come all the way through it, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you would bless it real good tonight as we study it. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just bless all the prayer requests that was mentioned tonight. Father, I thank you for all the praise reports that's been given. I thank you tonight for Brother Les that stood and told about Sister Christy tonight, Father, and how the people of the church had prayed. Lord, I thank you for Ms. Hush over there tonight. Lord, as she stood and told that her sister was cancer-free. Lord, I thank you tonight for everything that you're doing in this place. I thank you tonight for Mr. Avent that is cancer-free. Father, it's all over this room tonight how your healing hand has been touching people. And I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you put your hand on every one of us real good tonight. I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you and nothing about me. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for this congregation. Bless them tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we're talking about Hallelujah or Hallelujah chapter. And tonight as we get here, there's 4 times in the start of this chapter that the word Hallelujah is made there. Chapter 19 starts off with, "And after these things," is what he says in verse number 1, John does. "And after these things," which refers to the destruction of Babylon. And John hears a great voice of much people in heaven saying, and he hears this 4 times, and they say this 4 times. They say the word Hallelujah, which means to praise God. So they're saying that 4 times and they're praising God. If I ask you tonight, why do you praise God? It ought not be for the material things that He gives us, but it ought to be for who He is and what He is tonight. Can I get a witness? Not always do we get the material things we want, but tonight I thank God that He is on the throne. So tonight I want to look at why was heaven praising God? Why was they hearing that praising God? Look with me in verse number 1 tonight. Hey, number 1 is because salvation is of God. And tonight he says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, or praise God, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. You say, preacher, salvation is God. What makes that so significant tonight? I say to you, number one tonight, because salvation has a price. Amen. And salvation to you and I is free tonight. It didn't cost you anything. It didn't cost me anything. But it cost God everything. It cost God His Son. So salvation has a price. When they're praising God, they say He has met that ultimate price. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You say, what kind of price is it? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I see tonight salvation is of God because salvation had an expensive price. But also see the power that is in salvation tonight. When they got saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, they realized the price of salvation. They realized the power of salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Not almost saved, not maybe saved, but He said He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make an intercession for them. I see tonight the price of salvation. I see tonight the power of salvation. But I also see in the Bible the promise of salvation. Tonight, if you've got any reason to praise God, if you're saved, that's a good reason. Amen? Because of that price and that power and that promise that He's made. The promise is this, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Tonight, you know what? When we get to heaven, they won't be one person boast about anything that they've done or anything that they got going on. Hey, can I say to you tonight, they won't be no superstar in heaven. They won't be but one star, and that is God Almighty. Amen. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. The Bible says that salvation had a price. Salvation has power, but it also has a promise. In 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, Sunday night I made a statement, and man, it's really just rung true in my life this week. And I made the statement here Sunday night talking about salvation is of God. I made a statement that I don't have fire insurance. In my life as a Christian, I don't have fire insurance. And when I made that statement, I was coming right here and I was coming down, and I said that as a Christian, I don't have fire insurance. And as I got thinking about that, I got rolling in my mind, do I really have fire insurance? Do I really have what that fire insurance in my life? And I chewed on that Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and I said, I'm going to explain to what I meant. Hey, you know what? On my home that I have up there on the hill, Brother Jerry Gabby, I have fire insurance. Church on the hill. Amen. Hey, if it burns, it gets replaced. And I have that fire insurance just in case that place burns. Hey, tonight as a Christian, let me say to you, I do not have fire insurance because I'm not going to burn. Hey, the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to my life. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. I have no fire insurance. Fire insurance is this, in case you was to burn, Sister Kinsey, I'm not going to burn. Are you going to burn? Hey, no, that's why I put my faith in Jesus. He met that price. He put that power on my life, and He's gave me a promise. Man, as I thought about this week, Brother Roy, man, I was over there doing a little mowing one evening, and son, I just got fired up in what God's done in my life, knowing that I'm not going to burn in a devil's hell, but I've been set free by the blood of Jesus, because salvation is of God and not of me tonight. It's of God. Amen. He said, well, what about if you slip up, drop up, fall up? Listen to me now. It's all in Jesus tonight. We was burning the other day. You may have to have a burn permit. I don't know, but it was hot, wasn't it, Collar? The other evening, it was hot. And we were sitting there. I had sweat dripping off of me. And Kyler looked at me, and he said, you know what? I said, man, I ain't got a clue. What is it? He said, I'm sure I'm glad I'm saved and I ain't got to burn in hell. He said, because that fire's hot. Friends, tonight, can I say to you that my insurance tonight is in Christ Jesus and in Him alone. And I want you to know that there's going to come a day that there's going to be a payout. And it ain't because that I'm a burning, but because I'm in the presence of Almighty God. He said tonight, salvation is of God tonight. Man, if you get a hold of that, that'll do something in your life. No, that salvation is of God tonight. He said that price was paid by him. You didn't pay a price to be saved. You called on his name, but you didn't pay the price. The price was paid at the cross of Calvary. Can I say to you tonight, your part, the salvation that lies in you through Christ Jesus tonight. That promise tonight, he is able to save you to the uttermost because you're saved by faith tonight through Christ Jesus. So let me say this tonight. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Let's move on here tonight. The salvation is of God. That's why they're hollering hallelujah, hallelujah tonight. But can I say to you also, not only salvation is of God, but the judgment is of God. Judgment is of God tonight. Look in verse number 2 and verse number 3. He says, for true and righteous are his judgment. For he had judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. You say, preacher, how do you know the judgment is of God? Because he judges with a true judgment tonight. Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. His judgment tonight is true. Here when you get in chapter number 19, when they was screaming out from heaven there, hallelujah, and they was loving what God was doing, they knew his judgment was true. Can I say to you tonight, his judgment is righteous tonight as well. It's true and is it righteous? John chapter number 7 and verse number 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Have you ever judged somebody when you've seen them? As soon as you've seen them, you judged them. And you said, well, you know what tonight? God's not going to judge on your appearance. He's going to judge what's on the inside of man. He's going to judge what's going on and what you've done with Christ Jesus. In John chapter number 12 and verse number 48, Jesus said, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him the word that I have spoken. What you do with this book will determine what God does with you. Listen to me tonight. This book, what you do with this book will determine what God does with you. Listen to this tonight. Not only he that rejected me receiveth not my words, have one that judge him the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. So tonight I see that they're hollering hallelujah or hallelujah because salvation is of God. And also judgment is of God. Folks, tonight, you know what? You and I have no authority to judge anybody. You know what's wrong with churches today? We judge folk. Well, I don't know if that person can be saved or not. I don't know, boy. Listen to me tonight. God's the one in the saving business. Amen? God's the one in the saving business. God is the one in the judgment business. And when they started screaming out from the throne room of heaven, they was hollering, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, tonight, he don't judge on appearance. Ain't you glad of that tonight? He don't judge on your appearance. He don't judge on your bank account. He don't judge on what you have. He don't judge on none of them things. He judges on what you've done with Christ Jesus. I see tonight that he is the author of salvation. God is the author of salvation. I see he is the author of judgment. But I also see, if you'll look with me tonight in verse number 4, God is on the throne. God is on the throne tonight. I know we got a presidential election come up. And if you want, listen to me, I don't get a whole lot on politics. If you want to know how to vote, if you're a child of God, you'll know how to vote. I'm just going to leave it right there, and I'm not going no further. If you're a child of God, you'll know how to vote. And listen to this tonight. I want to give you this from the bottom of my heart tonight. I want to give this to you tonight. God is on the throne. Don't let what's going on in this world shake you all the way down to the core and you get all scared, wet hands, wringing your hands. What are we going to do? My 401k ain't going to last. If you're betting on it, you're a loser anyway. If you're betting on that, you're losing anyway. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Man, come on. Whoa, glory. So if you're betting on anything besides him, you're in trouble anyway. So tonight, God is on the throne. No matter what happens in November, he's on the throne. Amen. You say, well, preacher, are we still going to build a building? If it depends on, well, no, it don't matter who gets elected. Hello? It don't matter who gets elected. God's called us to build that building. We're going to build that building. I hope we're going to build that building. By the amens I just got, we may not be building nothing. Son, we might be going belly up by the way it looks. Listen. If I know if I can trust my soul with him, I can trust that building with him. Come on now, talk to me, somebody. Listen to me. If I can trust my soul and my eternity, something I've never seen, and I'm betting on this, when I die, Brother Roy, the heaven's going to be my home. I can trust him with the things going on right here. So let me give this to you tonight. God is on the throne. Look with me, if you will, here in verse number 4. And here's what the Bible says. And the 24 elders, that's them that are around the throne. And the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. He said, God is on the throne. Psalm 47 and verse number 7, the Bible says, For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, and God setteth upon the throne of His holiness. You say, preacher, what does that mean that God is on the throne? That means that God deserves our praise. He deserves our praise. Can I say to you tonight, when your praise goes up, power comes down. I don't care what you got going on in your life. I don't care depression, anxiety, no matter what you got going on. If you let them things rule you, you will not be praising God. But if you can get to the place where you'll just start praising Him, I'm telling you what, them things will flee from your life. Them things will flee from your life. Here, they didn't worry about it. They seen him on the throne, Brother Whooper, and they just started, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Say that tonight with me, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, I don't even know how to spell it. I had to hit that microphone on my phone and say, Hallelujah, and it'll spell out, Hallelujah. Why? Because that's praise to God. Praise to God. Folks, I'm telling you, it's just praise to God. Praise to God. Let me share this on with you. God is on the throne. He deserves our praise. He desires our praise, and He deserves our praise. Brother Les said something a while ago, and he said that he believed that the prayers of the saints here got to praying for Sister Christie, and he heard them. It got his attention. You didn't know why I was going to say this tonight, but Psalm 22 in verse number 3, the Bible says, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. What does that mean? When you start praising God, He starts paying attention. When you start praising God, He starts putting an ear toward it. When you start praising God and it ain't about nobody else at this church and there's nobody lifted up, there's nobody high and lifted up, only body we're lifting up is Jesus, you know what God does? He starts turning His ear to it. You know what's wrong with a lot of churches today in the world that we live in? It ain't about God and they're not lifting up God, they're not lifting up Jesus, they're not lifting up what needs to be lifted up and that ear ain't being turned. Friends, tonight, can I say to you, God's not got a deaf ear. When you start praising Him and you start lifting His name up and you say, Salvation is of God. Judgment is of God. I want you to know He starts lending an ear. He starts bending that ear toward Him. He starts listening at what's going on. And I want you to know I want God to be in tune with us down here. Amen. Because we get in tune with Him. Amen. I want Him to turn that ear and be listening. When somebody's sick or going through something, I don't want to throw up a shallow prayer. I want it to be a prayer that God hears. When you get to worshiping Him and lifting Him up, He'll turn that ear. There's too many testimonies in this place. Too many testimonies. We was at the men's conference. Man, I ain't got time. We was at the men's conference. And I'd been praying all day, Lord, just preach through me. Whatever you want to say, just say it. We'll be good with it. I probably got one of the biggest compliments I ever got in my life, Brother Harold. This week, Brother Kevin Pugh called me and said his son was a youth pastor at First Baptist and somewhere off down yonder. Another one's way up yonder somewhere. I don't even know where they're at, but they're somewhere, big old churches. And they said, well, what'd you think about the conference? He said, it went good. He said, but that last preacher, I don't know if he'd be able to preach in our church or not. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know how they'd accept him coming in there. You know what I'm saying? And they said, Daddy, I want to ask you a question. He said, all right. He said, I believe it because the man told it. But do you think that he told his daughter that she made a 91, that she's going to make a 91 on that test that God had told him that, and then she went to school 8 hours later and made a 91 on a test? Do you believe God can speak to a man like that? He said, I believe it 100%. I believe it 100%. Folks, tonight, you say, you crazy, preacher. Oh, I ain't crazy. I'm just in love with Jesus, amen? I'm just in love with what Jesus is doing, how He's pouring out on this place, how He's pouring out in my life. And I told him at that men's conference the other day, Brother Eric, you can be a witness to this. When I asked God, I said, my daughter needs a work done in her life. She's saved, but she needs to see Your hand in her life. I said, God, You ain't got to show me nothing. You done showed me enough. If You don't show me nothing else, You've done showed me enough. When You saved my soul from a devil's hell, You've showed me enough. But at 20-year-old, there's a lot of things that's coming against her and wanting her to know, is the God you serve, is He really the God of salvation? Is He really the God of judgment? Is He really on the throne? it looks like he ain't on the throne. It looks like the world's having a heyday. But is God still on the throne? God, you've got to show up in that girl's life. And that morning he said, tell her she's going to make a 91 on that test. Tell her she's going to make a 91. Riley Cruz, he said, tell her. I went there where she is at, Riley. Honest to God, truth. I said, maybe you want to know. Y'all done heard this, but I'm going to tell it till I die. It's better than my testimony. I said, will you receive what God wants you to have? She said, yeah, Daddy. I said, he told me you're going to make a 91 on that big exam. Daddy, it's nursing. I said, do you want to receive it or not? She said, Daddy, I want it. I said, he told me you're going to make a 91 on that test. She looked at me and said, Daddy. I said, baby, all you got to do is receive it by faith. He said, preacher, that's easy. Oh, no, it's hard to believe by faith. Brother Brad, is it not hard? When he told Jay Irish, only believe. Man, he's on the throne. When he speaks to you, you believe it. And I said, baby, what you want? You want it or not? She said, Daddy, I want it. Me, her, and Ryder. He don't know nothing, but he'll jabber, man. He's talking to the Lord like you ain't never seen. He grabbed that hand. One thing he does, we pray over supper, son. He's ready for amen. You hear me? They don't even let me pray no more. Get too long-winded. Don't even let me pray for supper no more. We had hands held there, and we prayed, and we got done. And about 2:30, I done forgot all about it. Wasn't thinking nothing about it. My phone rung. She never calls me. She texts me, headed home. I said, I don't care what you do. Just let me know. I don't want to worry about you. Amen? And let me know when you're headed home. Man, something could happen. I need to know where you're at. Man, when I was a kid, I didn't want mom and dad to know nothing. Now that I'm a parent, it worries me to death. Man, I just sweat my palms till she comes in the house, you know? And she called. I said, what's wrong? I picked that phone up. I said, hello? I said, what's wrong with you? I said, Daddy, I made a 91 on that test. She said, I made a 91.3. What does the .3 mean? I said, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, baby. He won't do nothing. He won't do nothing without showing you he's on the throne. This church will go where God wants it to go when we get to where we believe that he's on the throne. That it ain't Brother BJ ain't on the throne. It ain't David Barnes being a deacon because we're on the throne. Or Eric Caruth. No, that ain't why it's on the throne. It's because he's on the throne. And our deacon body and pastor and other people, we're just under his submission. Just come down up underneath him, let him lead us. He said he's on the throne. Let me show you this as we get ready to close. Man, they're going to be here in just a minute. He said he's on the throne. God is on the throne. He desires our praise, and he deserves our praise. You get praising him, he's going to show up. I see not only on the throne, but God is omnipotent tonight. Look what he says in verse number 6. Let me show you what he says, and we'll be closing. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and in the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Omnipotent, that he reigns. What does that mean? That means that almighty, he reigns. Detroit language, there ain't nobody stronger than he is. You got a problem, take it to him. He reigns. He unlimitless. He has no limit, he reigns. There's nowhere he can't go. There's no problem you got that he can't go to. There's no deepest or darkest secret you got that he can't forgive and take care of. That's what that means. I don't know about you, but you holler hallelujah right there. There ain't a bill you're going to have come in your mailbox that he can't meet the need for. Hallelujah. There ain't a doctor's report that comes your way that he can't heal. Hallelujah. That's what he says. He said, you don't know who I am. He said, I'm all-knowing. I'm all-powerful. I'm who you need. Almighty he reigns. Unlimited he reigns. And all-powerful he reigns. All-powerful he reigns. Kaylee's been walking around. I don't even know if she's been walking on the back of her shoes or not. Been on her tippy toes everywhere she goes. And you know what? To see her receive that has done me good as a father. There's some of you in here tonight, your children waiting. They waiting on you to step up. You know what old Satan told me, Miss Hush? You know what he told me? He said, don't tell her that. That didn't come from God. And before I ever woke her up to tell her that, I battled that in my own mind, my own heart, my own spirit. I did. I battled that thing, Brother Bradley, back and forth, something like that. And here's what he told me. What if she don't? You're going to look like a fool. That's what he told me. Did you really hear from God? Did you really hear from God? I would almost say a lot of you've heard from God, and you said, if I say that, I'm going to look like a fool. You know how many times I've said stuff and have looked like a fool that had nothing to do with God? So why not just step out on a limb and say, it's what God told me. Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus. And this is what he told me. Tonight, I want to share that with you to say this as we close. If you got a paper, you can look down there. And this is, I want Brandy prints it for me. This is how it went to her. This is just the language I use. Ain't nothing God can't do. Ain't nothing God can't do. When you say, well, don't you limit God, church. Don't you limit God in your life. They ain't nothing God can't do. So can you prove that? Luke chapter number 1, verse number 37, the Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God your salvation was possible. For with God there's going to come a day that you're going to stand, if you're saved, at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to be able to stand there not because you was a good person or righteous or any of them things or that you kept the Ten Commandments. You'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ because the blood was only applied to your life. Because the blood of Jesus was applied to your life, you get to stand there. Anything less than that, you're at the great white throne. Anything less than the blood of Jesus, you're at the great white throne. By the blood of Jesus, we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Because ain't nothing, he can do anything he wants to do, salvation is possible. Because anything he wants to do, the judgment for you to stand will be possible. Because he can do anything, he's on the throne. If he was not all-powerful, do you not think we'd done it dethroned him? Somebody would have had enough problems, they would have got him off the throne, Miss Patsy. If God was not God, they would have done voted him off his throne. They would have. But it don't work that way. It don't matter what you think about him. It don't matter. He's on the throne. And I look around this room now, and he's on the throne of a lot of people's lives in here. That were going in the wrong direction, but God said, he's seen fit to save your soul and turn you around and get you going a different way. And here was my prayer tonight. My prayer and heart's desire is that we all be found praising God. Because he deserves and desires our praise. Praising God with a hallelujah in one hand and a glory to God in the other hand is a great cure. I promise you this. Any of this going on in your life, I'm fixing to read, going on in your life tonight, it's because if you'll start praising God, it'll flee. Praising God with a hallelujah in one hand and a glory to God in the other hand is a great cure for anxiety, depression, worry, and discouragement in a believer's life. Praising God. Just praising God is a great cure for all them things. One thing Satan don't want you to do, and that's to praise God. That's to praise God. That's to praise God. Folks, tonight I want you to know I hope I'm always found praising him. And I hope tonight you are too. There's a lot of things pulling at us. But you remember, he's on the throne. And if he's your Savior tonight, you're in good hands with Jesus. Amen. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Lord, I thank you for your power and your purpose on everybody in this room. I'm begging you tonight, Father, to give somebody just what they need tonight. Not what they want, but what they need. That need that they've been praying for so long, I'd ask you tonight, if it be according to your will, that you would open that window of heaven and you'd pour it out tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people say. Amen. Amen. Love